You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
If I punch you, you're going to turn the other cheek.
20 years ago, I would have knocked you back. But now I would create an environment where you would cease to feel hostility.
The elites of California have decided that we're going to have same-sex marriage, and what the people want can be damned.
You are asked now, perhaps by your creator, not on a question of gay or straight. You are asked now to stand on a question of love. Let the tiny ember of love meet its own fate.
All you need is love.
Since President-elect Obama says that his main thing was change, then it's time for him to have a change of heart for the little babies in America who are being aborted and they're dying.
What I want to know is it comes to the end of the week, Friday, and the stack of show sheets I have in front of me is only taller than any other day of the week. There's always more to do on Friday. Usually people are slacking off on Friday, going home early. Maybe they don't even come to work at all. And I've got a stack of show sheets in front of me. Now, it's all good stuff, but it's an awful lot to do in 2 hours of radio. Listener email for the first half hour of the program. We pick our Issues Etc. blog of the week. We play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's the first hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Friday. It's the 5th of December. In the second hour of the program, Pastor David Peterson joins us to remember 4th century Bishop of Smyrna, descender of chimneys? No, but a giver of gifts, Nicholas. And then Colleen Carroll Campbell will be our guest. We'll talk about Black Friday violence all over the country in various forms on Black Friday, when all the retail outlets hope to get into the black. People are being hurt, shoved around, some killed in the simple pursuit of Christmas shopping. She'll join us to give us her take on that, and then we'll round off today's 2 hours of Issues Etc. with some open lines, audio open lines, an NPR story about new ways of marketing the Bible. Two new, very marketable Bibles. One of them is kind of a coffee table book. The other one is the Green Bible. It's got a green tree on the front, and it's made of all recyclable and recycled materials. We'll play the audio for you. We'll hear what you have to say a little bit later here on the program. Our call-in number on this Friday, the 5th of December, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. We always start Friday with listener email. What's up first, Jeff?
This is Tad in Grand Haven, Michigan. He's responding to the program we did, the interview, NPR interview with Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals. And part of that interview was when he was talking about how younger evangelicals think differently than their older counterparts. Tad from Grand Haven, Michigan writes, "First of all, thank you for your program. I love hearing Christ and Him crucified daily, as well as your thoughtful commentary and the great array of guests you feature on your show. I'm a 25-year-old evangelical and have been immersed in the religious, social, and political world of these up-and-coming evangelicals Mr. Cizik discussed. This is how I see it," Tad writes. "Many of my peers rejected the over-commercialized and market-driven understanding of doing church and religion. In doing so, they have dismissed everything social and political, good and bad, that used to be connected to the movement. Now they are attempting to create their own identity and to find some type of depth to their faith. Unfortunately, since many were raised on preaching that was man-centered, they seek a social gospel. I'm afraid since catechesis was not emphasized, they have no theological backbone. Many are quite postmodern in their subjective understanding of Christ. Many get their theological knowledge from the likes of Deepak Chopra, The Secret, and all the other fads because the use of the right buzzwords just with poison definitions. There are those of us who have rediscovered biblical and confessional Christianity, and we appreciate the teaching and encouragement in the faith we get from guys like you. Thanks, Tad, in Grand Haven, Michigan.
Well, you know, Tad's put his finger on what even solid research has indicated. We had Christian Smith on a month and a half ago or so. I can't remember how long ago. Christian Smith did this book called Soul Searching, and he's the guy who was instantly famous for describing the religious views of America's youth, even American evangelicals, young evangelicals, as moralistic therapeutic deism. Well, that's what it is. Look, you raise a generation of kids on schmoozy, market-driven, entertainment-oriented Christianity, if you can even call it Christianity. Self-help, life guide kind of stuff. You raise a generation of kids on that who've already been fed a steady diet of Madison Avenue's best. And sooner or later, they're going to get sick of it. They're going to see right through it. The youth are not stupid. They're young. They're not stupid. And they're going to turn to something. The question is, whose porch light is going to be on when these youth are fleeing the schmoozy, market-driven, self-help churches? If the only porch light they find on is that of the social gospel, the so-called new evangelical movement, where it's just as important to fight global warming as it is to preach Christ and Him crucified, where do you think they're going to land? And I think Tad says exactly what's wrong here. With no theological spine, they don't have the ability to discern what they left, which was the smoothie, market-driven, moralistic, therapeutic deism, for the socially conscious, leftward-leaning, socially enlightened, moralistic, therapeutic deism. They've just given up one therapeutic deism for another, and it's very sad.
This email comes from Mike in Rockford, Illinois, in reaction to your interview with Pastor Wolmer on objective versus subjective Christianity. Mike writes, Pastor Wolmer's story could be mine as well. All the youth group activities, gatherings, weekend camps, Christian rock concerts, etc., had these small sharing sessions where everyone was encouraged to share critical moments that shaped their faith. It took until college and a great campus pastor, Pastor Rick Miles at the University of Indiana, to re-educate me. It might be University of Illinois, U of I, to re-educate me and remind me that our feelings have nothing to do with what Christ has done for us. Thanks, Mike, in Rockford, Illinois.
Thanks, Mike. I was raised on exactly the same kind of stuff. Even in high school, junior high and high school, you had a subject as objective as something like history. I don't think a week went by where we didn't break into small groups and discuss. Where we didn't sit around, get all of our desks in a big circle in the classroom with a big open space in the middle, and opine. And it found its way into the churches. Nowadays, it's considered all the rage for your church to have small groups. Everybody breaks into small groups all the time. That's considered the new thing or the latest new thing in churches. It's nothing new. It's just what they were doing in junior high with us in health class and history class and math class. We went through the subject in a very cursory manner. Then we broke up into small groups and talked about it. It didn't get us anywhere. It didn't improve my grades. And if that's what we're doing in the churches, we're really only pooling relative ignorance. I don't know how many pastors' conferences I have been to where you know the minute the speaker stands up at the podium, that within 20 minutes, he's going to be done talking because he's run out of stuff. And he's going to ask you to break into small groups and discuss. That's usually when I go grab a beer.
This can't go without a comment on this, Pastor. You know, Jeff, college football Jeff here is all about colleges, right? U of I is University of Illinois. Indiana is IU. Just had to point that out.
I was disappointed, too. I was disappointed, too.
Well, I'm more disappointed because Pastor Rick Miles has been a guest on the show before. It's been several years, and I do remember that he is at the University of Illinois Champaign. I'm more disappointed in that. But I come from a college where I think it's supposed to be the University of Missouri, but we got people, they print T-shirts, says MU, as if it's Missouri University. So
Really?
Yes, I'm confused. I don't know. Maybe I didn't get the memo on that one. It was supposed to be UM or MU.
By the way, before we leave Mizzou behind... This Saturday.
Well, I think Oklahoma's going to leave Mizzou behind, unfortunately, this Saturday night.
Okay, so I was going to ask you for your prediction on Mizzou-Oklahoma.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, anything can happen. Anything can happen. What's going to happen? Missouri's going to have to play the best game they have all year, and Oklahoma's going to have to take them lightly. And unfortunately, there's no way to stall on football, really. You know, it's not like the four corners in basketball. So, but I'll be cheering on my beloved Tigers.
And if they win, it's Fiesta Bowl time for them, right?
Yes, but more importantly is the orange shirt I'm wearing tonight, where tonight my beloved Edwardsville Tigers will play game number two of their season against arch rival. Well, it's really not really a rivalry anymore. Collinsville, the Cayhawks, which is where Craig went to high school. We play them tonight. I think we've beaten them 13 or 14 games in a row. And this, by the way, the storied tradition of Collinsville High School basketball. They at one time were the winningest high school basketball program in the country. I think now they're down to two or three. But my beloved Tigers have beaten them, I think, 13 or 14 straight games. And we just got to keep the streak alive tonight.
And yet there's no streak, right? What he failed to mention was in their very first game, your beloved Tigers, what, lost by 14?
Correct. All right. We don't go there.
Folks, I put a newspaper clipping from the football loss from the Tigers to the Cayhawks on the wall. I just have one thing to say to Jeff. Let's look to the wall. Anything is possible,
that's
Jeff.
Right. We put important things on the wall around here at Lutheran Public Radio. There's a poster of baptism. There's a show clock. And then there's Collinsville beating Edwardsville.
Yeah, in Collinsville, what was that, 26 years or something? We hadn't beaten us in football.
History.
So it could happen. It very well, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. We were coming off a loss, season-opening loss, on the road to a very good Belleville-Altoff team. But my beloved Tigers, you can only beat Coach Waldo early in the year because his record in February-March is like 85% winning percentage in February-March because that's when it counts.
All right, we shall see. Oh, by the way, before we go to the break, no time for another email. We'll get to one on the other side of the break. Name of your new basketball team that you and your brother are coaching.
Randy Moore Repair Service. We'll talk about it after the break.
All right. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. The only days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just hooked me a little. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Ken Jansen, Allison Hoyenstein, David Carver, Matthew Worm, Tom Eckhart, Jeff Sievers, Linda Grahams, Debbie Whitke, Jack Jefferson, and Pastor Ryan Mills. Thanks for your support.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Hey, it's not that these people have hijacked an otherwise peaceful religion. I'm sorry, that's just simply not the case. If you go back to those sources, that's in essence what Osama bin Laden did.
Confessional church bodies fail to generate headlines. We don't change every year our approach. We don't modify the Word of God depending on whatever's happening in the worlds of Paris Hilton and Britney Spears. It could not be of less interest to the media.
Our God is a consuming fire. But hey, when what he's consuming is your sin, what a joy to be in front of him. You're like, burn, baby, burn.
As soon as you develop a theological anthropology that affirms human ability, you've moved from the biblical model, which is always Christ-centered, to a more anthropocentric model, one that's dealing with the human subject.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Going through some listener email. Time for your votes for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the week in about 20 minutes. You heard a few snippets there of our four candidates for Soundbite of the week. You can go to our website, hear them in their entirety in advance, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Under today's audio, you'll find those four soundbites for you to listen to and to vote for. Or call in number 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. Phone callers, when we play Soundbite of the Week, will get top priority. Or you can email your votes to talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. More listener email. But first, last year, with a season of a million and one or something like that? I don't even know what it was.
I think
we
were 1-8.
One and eight. Yes, it was.
Might have been worse than that. There are four teams in the league, and I think we played them three times.
But it was Edwardsville Frozen Foods, fourth graders, fifth graders.
Last year, third graders. I got fourth graders.
Okay. So you and your brother are coaching another basketball team. Actually, it's the same team for the most part, but a different name. What was it again?
Randy Moore Repair Service. Only in America. The heartland, baby. We go from Edwardsville Frozen Foods to Randy Moore Repair Service. So keep Randy Moore Repair Service in your pietistic prayers because we need them.
Okay, how's the season this year, Shane?
Well, listen to this. We had a doubleheader. This never happens in basketball. Doubleheader? I mean, unless it's JV varsity or something, but like your team plays two games in a row. Doubleheader, Wednesday night, we split. We lost the first game in overtime. We won the second game easily. Not easily. Nothing's easy for us. I mean, maybe it's 4 or 6 points, but that's a big win for us. So we already, in one night, won as many games as we did all of last season. So I'm all for doubleheaders.
And when's your next game?
Every Wednesday night.
All right, everybody, if you tune in on Thursdays, we'll try and remember and give you the running record for Randy Moore's Repair Services, formerly Edwardsville Frozen Foods.
Randy Moore, Randy Moore Repair Services.
All right.
Let's get it right. They pay good money, and they're paying to advertise in the show, or maybe not.
Not on this show. Let's.
By the way, my son JJ had 17 points in the first game. I think we had 21. And I think he only had 9 in the second game or something like that. But not too bad for a fourth grader.
Michael Jordan didn't play doubleheaders. No.
No. No.
But these fourth graders, they're scrappy little characters. What's the next email?
All right. This is RJ in Georgetown Township, Michigan. He said, I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for the excellent programming found on Issues Etc. As I write this, I'm listening to Todd Wilkin and R. Scott Clark discuss the emergent church movement. It's really good stuff. Like so many others, I was astonished when the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod dropped the show, but it's great to have you back, and I hope the show can go on for many years to come. In a minute, I'll be making a donation to support the great work you're doing. Thanks for your commitment to Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio, and thank you, RJ, in Georgetown Township, Michigan.
RJ, thanks, and thanks for the support, for listening. I love R. Scott Clark in a purely platonic and heterosexual way. I love R. Scott Clark. He's one of the brightest theologians. The stuff he writes, if he wants to, he can go way over your head, but he doesn't. And he's a real bona fide Luther scholar. He's, I think, probably one of the preeminent Luther scholars outside the realm of Lutheranism that I know of. I mean, he's rivaled only by some Roman Catholics who study Luther, and he's a great guest, too.
This is Paul in Harker Heights, Texas. Do you know where that's at, Harker Heights, Texas?
No.
I thought you knew everything about Texas.
No, I actually know very little. Outside the realm of Dallas-Fort Worth, I'm lost.
My thoughts on Texas? Joel Osteen, LBJ, and George W. Bush.
My thought on Texas, J.R. Ewing.
He's a big Dallas fan. He still watches Victoria Principal on the infomercials. That's Craig I'm talking about here. This is Jeff speaking about Craig.
That's how Craig.
It's not me, honey.
That's how Craig spends his evenings. Okay.
Okay, Paul in Harker Heights, Texas, somewhere in Texas. I was listening to the discussion on the divine service that you had on the 16th of this month. What I find sad is that even within the Lutheran Church, the focus has been taken off the cross and placed on things that we do to please God, which no one can do on his or her own, taking the very essence of the divine service away from those who need it the most. I especially like the W versus M analogy. I have always defined worship as God speaks, we respond. Thanks for the explanation, and thanks to you, Paul, in Texas.
Thanks, Paul, and thanks for listening in Texas. He's absolutely right. This is probably one of the things that pains me more than hardly anything, and that is, as a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to watch my fellow pastors and their congregations, in some cases, in an almost wholesale manner, abandon not just our tradition, our heritage. That's not what it's about. Abandon the Word of God for essentially the Word of man. The Word about God for the Word about man. And the preaching of Christ for the preaching of the Christian. And it's happening in the way they worship, in the way they preach, in what they study. Now, the W and the M analogy that he referred to, just to let everybody in on, we had our pastor's roundtable, and it was Pastor Holly from Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois, who was part of the roundtable. And Brian gave this analogy of how worship works. He says people usually think of worship or prayer as a big W. I'm sorry, as a big M, like the golden arches. We send up our stuff, and then God sends down his stuff, and then we send up our stuff, and God sends down his stuff. And he says, really, we should flip that on its head. Worship and prayer work this way, as a big W. God sends down his gracious gifts without any merit or worthiness in us. And our natural response of faith is to send back thanksgiving and praise. And he responds by sending his blessings, apart from any merit or worthiness in us. It's a great analogy.
Let's go out to West Virginia, where Martha writes. She calls herself a recovering evangelical. Thank you so much for your program on subjective versus objective Christianity. I was part of subjective Christianity for over 10 years, and I cannot begin to tell you the damage it did to me. My faith, determining God's will, everything was based on feelings, and when I sinned, which was frequent and sometimes big, I didn't feel like a Christian, and I believed I had backslidden. Eventually, I came to believe that I had sinned too much, and in such major ways that God would not forgive me anymore. I so desperately needed to be constantly reminded that Jesus had died for all my sin and that my salvation depended on his work and not on me living a pure life. I suffered intense anxiety regarding the condition of my soul for nearly 10 years, and I did not begin to get better until I finally began to realize that the gospel is something outside of myself, though I wouldn't have put it in those terms at the time. Now, 15 years later, I thank the Lord that he has given me peace regarding my salvation because I know beyond a doubt that he has reconciled me to himself through the blood of Christ. I have learned not to depend on how I feel on any given day or try to discern his will by some subjective standard of what I sense in my heart. I depend on the objective historical fact of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection on my behalf, and in my stead, I love objective and historic Christianity. She concludes, my husband Dave and I want you to know that starting in January, we will be attending a Lutheran church. We've been part of a Reformed Baptist church for over 11 years, and Dave has been an elder for 8 of those years. It's difficult leaving our church family, whom we love so much, but we have come to believe that the Lutheran theology is more scriptural than Calvinism, so we're making the transition. You at Issues Etc. have been instrumental in our theological journey, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. That's Martha in West Virginia.
Thank you, Martha. That's very gratifying to hear. We've heard many, many with the same story. Man, she wrote that so well, Jeff. We ought to tag her for a future Wittenberg Trail in the forthcoming Issues Etc. journal. And she used that term that so many of our listeners do, recovering evangelical. Make a note of this, Jeff. One of the liners we forgot to add to our new list of liners, radio for recovering evangelicals.
Yeah, talk radio for recovering evangelicals.
That's what we need. Put it on the list.
We got time for one more?
Yeah.
Will writes, I was listening to your segment with Reverend Swirla this morning. on Judgment Day. I was reminded of the damage that bad theology concerning Judgment Day and our life here on earth can do to one's faith. Several years ago, my cousin, who was in hospice care as she was suffering from cancer, she had a lot of time on her hands, so a friend of her gave her a copy of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. There she was on her deathbed in tears because she felt like she had not done enough to gain entrance into heaven. Finally, there was someone there to take the book away and reassure her that Christ had done it all for her, and that on Judgment Day, she would be clothed in the white robe of Christ's righteousness. And that's Will. Thanks for the email, Will.
He's a former classmate of mine. Oh, Will, thank you very much. Look, whether it's Roman Catholicism that teaches you that you're going to have to add to what Christ did in order to gain entrance into heaven, or it's Rick Warren who teaches you that you're going to have to add to what Christ did in order to get your rewards in heaven. It's all the same stuff. If someone is either on the deathbed or just going about their everyday life without the solid comfort that what Christ did for us is really, truly enough, sufficient, entirely sufficient, not only for heaven, but also for its rewards. If they lack that sure and certain comfort, they're left without any real hope at all. And when that moment of death comes, sometimes the desperation comes out. I'm glad that for this dear woman, that desperation was replaced with the comfort of Christ's full, sufficient sacrifice. We'll be right back. Blog of the Week is next.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here's an idea for future Bible studies at your church. It's titled A Longer Look at the Lessons. It's an opportunity to dig deeper into each week's sermon topic and scripture readings. A Longer Look at the Lessons is reproducible and only costs $30 per quarter. Find out more about this easy-to-download resource at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Longer Look at the Lessons, 1-800-325-3040.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
What they're doing at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, should make the blood run cold of anyone who cherishes freedom. The university has hired 6 graduate students to be dialogue facilitators to promote diversity. They wander around campus, eavesdropping on students' conversations on controversial social issues like abortion. If they hear anything they deem is offensive, they step in and direct the conversation. I'm not making this up. Each facilitator took an 11-day training course and gets paid real money and free room and board. Student groups in Canada are already being banned just because they're pro-life. Imagine what the talk police will do. Imagine the reaction students will have to this eavesdropping on their personal conversations.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Steve Schultz, Pastor Jay Rinas, William Bertram, Becky Breitbart, Paul Bowman, Heidi Weber, Dr. Michael Anderson, Pastor Brian Kackelmeyer, and Faith Spellbring. Thanks for your support.